Believe it or not, in the mid-1950s, Los Angeles didn't have much of a pop music scene. The film industry dominated everything. But there were some tiny record labels hoping for hits and sometimes getting them. More labels sprung up with the appearance of rock and roll. Rock historian Ed Ward tells us about one of them, named Doré, and the guy who ran it.
Someday, some genius is going to decide to do a Mad Men-type show about the little record labels of the late 1950s, and yes, I'll happily serve as a consultant. My first suggestion is that the L.A. part be set in what was known as Record Row, a bunch of cheap studios, record company offices, promotion companies, and music publishers essentially bounded by Selma, Sunset, Argyle, and Vine in Hollywood. It was here, in 1955, that Era Records opened an office on North Vine. Era was run by Lou Bedell, who'd had a comedy act for some years, and Herb Newman, a younger guy who'd had some record business experience. Lou put up $7,500 of his own money on the suggestion of his Uncle Max, who knew people and thought this would be a good idea. In fact, it was. Era had a number of hits by people like Gogie Grant and Art and Dottie Todd, artists who performed in local nightclubs, and their promotion folks were canny and effective, which meant that even the non-hits made money. Lou did well enough to marry his fiancée, Dee Dee Barrymore, from the famous acting family, but it was becoming evident that he and his partner didn't see eye to eye on the rock and roll stuff that seemed to be selling. So in 1958, Lou started a subsidiary label named after his new son, Doré, and bought a couple of unreleased recordings from a New York producer.
Do be do be do do wop wah do be do be do do wop wah do be do be do do wop wah do.
After School Rock was one of those records people who didn't understand rock and roll thought was rock and roll, and it tanked. Still, the doors at Doré were always open, and one day a couple of teenagers who called themselves the Teddy Bears walked in with something they'd recorded at Gold Star Studios. Bedell listened to the tape, a song called Don't You Worry, My Little Pet, and liked it enough to put up a few bucks for the group to record a B-side. Philip Spector, the group's songwriter, adapted the words on his father's tombstone for the trio's girl singer, Annette Kleinbard, and they recorded To Know Him Is to Love Him. The more Bedell listened to this, the more he liked it. Herb Newman was scandalized. It was a demo. You couldn't release a demo. But Lou released it. And every day after school, Philip would drop in and ask, "How are we doing today, Mr. Bedell?" And Bedell would invariably say, "No word." Then, one day, there was word from Fargo, North Dakota, that the distributor there had sold 18,000 copies and needed more. His territory also included Omaha, and from there it spread and spread, topping the charts in September 1958 and becoming Doré's first and only million seller. Soon thereafter, the Welk Music Group approached Era Doré and offered them $180,000 for the copyrights on five of their songs, including the Teddy Bears, and Newman used his part to buy his share of Era from Bedell and move into swankier offices. Bedell knew better. His next hit could walk in off the streets at any minute, and it did.
Not
Jan Barry had already had a hit with local DJ Arnie Woo Woo Ginsburg, but he and his friend Dean Torrance had rewritten a flop record by someone called The Laurels and had their friends Herb Alpert and Lou Adler take Baby Talk around town for them. Dot Records made them an offer, but they wanted a second opinion, and Bedell's opinion was that he wanted it. It scraped into the national top 10 in 1959, and Lou bought himself a Jaguar XKE with Lou B license plates. Thore wasn't much into what's called today artist development. Most of the artists who recorded there went elsewhere for their next records. Not John and Judy, a brother and sister act. They were being pushed by their mother, and their first record for the label, Hideout, got them two more, which didn't do as well.
About a block down the street, there's a place where we meet. It's a real great spot, and the music's real hot. There's always something going on, and you can have a lot of fun at the Hideout.
They kept going, and eventually John wound up as one of the Walker Brothers. Occasionally, there was an actual hot record on Doré. Tony Casanova was a Puerto Rican kid whose best friend in high school was Richie Valens, and he used to play guitar with him.
I hear there's a guy looking for me, and he's been fooling with my baby. His name, they say, is Johnny Brown. He says he'll run me out of town. Johnny Brown.
Beatles, though, took Bedell by surprise just like everyone else. One thing he noticed immediately was that while his pop acts suddenly weren't selling, the black groups kept going just fine because the black stations weren't playing the British groups. In 1964, he made the wise business decision to focus on soul, but that's a story for another time.
Ed Ward lives in France. You can join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. And you can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies. ¶¶